Welcome. My name is Scott Whitaker. I will be your host for today's all-digital coaching call. And in just a moment, R. John Robbins is going to be on the line with us, and he's got some great things to share with you because he's going to be sharing with you what I would consider is a timely message, a timely coaching call, because he's going to be sharing about some key numbers to look at this year versus last year, and so how to drive those comparisons and set yourself up and set your law firm up for success in the coming year. Plus, there's going to be some tax stuff that he's going to share with you, end-of-year marketing and business planning for 2019. So it's going to be a packed coaching call, plus we are going to do a live Q&A, so you'll have an opportunity to ask R. John your questions and hear from him and get insight into your law firm. Plus, it's a great opportunity for you to learn from others and their questions. And then we will give you instructions, and it's only available to those who are listening live. So if you are listening by way of the CD, which I know some of you are doing because I got an email from somebody, so thanking us for the CDs. If you're listening by way of the membership site, we wanted to just reward those who were able to actually make it on the call. So we'll give you instructions on how to enter to win those two free tickets to the next live quarterly meeting. So having said all that, I want to invite R. John Robbins on the line. R. John, I know you're there. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Scott. Thank you for making this happen, because you do make this happen. I just show up and you make it easy for me, so thank you for that.
You're welcome, man. It's my pleasure. You know, I know you know this, but one of the highlights for us every month is jumping on this call and investing in these lawyers who are part of the membership and just being able to serve them and come alongside them and partner with them in their law firm.
Yeah, and I, right alongside thanking you for making this happen, of course, this, I guess it would happen. It just would be you and me talking to each other if it wasn't for all of the members who show up to make it happen. So thank you all for making that, for making that. And I just want to say that, you know, we do record these, and you can, of course, listen to the recording, and I hope everyone does. And even if you listen to it live, I think it's a good idea to listen to the recording as well. You'll learn a lot from it. It's also a really good idea to share the recording with your spouse or significant other, or maybe even a key person on your team, because it's hard to translate a lot of the ideas, and not just the big idea, but the nuances. And you know, sometimes something clicks for you because of the tone of voice, or it clicks for you because of a joke that we made earlier in the call, or it clicks for you because of a comment that one of the other participants makes. And, you know, it's sort of like an inside joke. It's an inside joke for a reason, because it's inside, because you had to be there. And so it's a good idea to ask your spouse or significant other to listen to these recordings, because there's nuances they will pick up on that I, you know, if your relationship with your spouse or significant other is anything like the relationship that, you know, our members have with their spouses and significant others. We've got 300 members, and they're not all married. They don't all have a significant other, but a big percentage of them do. You know, it'll just make for a happier home life when your spouse or significant other understands not just what you're doing, but has a better appreciation for some of the nuances of why you're doing things the way you're doing them, particularly if it's new to you to do things this way. It's probably difficult to explain or justify it, and maybe you've even spent a few years telling your husband or your wife or your significant other why things have to be the way they are, and now all of a sudden you're coming back and saying to them, wow, you know what? Boy, was I wrong. And that was a tough pill for me to swallow years ago when I had my fiance, now she's my wife. But, you know, I had her convinced that things had to be the way things had to be, which is another way of saying that I have sold her on my stories that essentially justified and rationalized and explained away why things were the way they were, and they weren't that good. And, you know, it was tough. It was tough to have to come back to her and say, you know, I've been reading these books. I attended this course. And in my case, I went to a live event. And I came back from this live event after 3 or 4 days, And it was like, you know, everything that I've been telling you for all these, we were together by that time for a couple of years, turns out it's not right. You know, it turns out that I essentially convinced you to believe that our life had to be the way it was, the way we were tolerating, because of a bunch of false beliefs that I had about business, about myself, about the economy, about the way things were. And anyway, I made it a point to begin asking her to listen to recordings of things that I was listening to, and I began asking her to read a couple of the books that I was reading and began bringing her to some of the live events that I was attending. And, you know, it made her much more sympathetic to my cause, if you will. It made her understand where I was coming from and why I was pivoting and changing and doing things differently. And it was particularly valuable when friends and family and colleagues and people who we knew saw me doing things differently and weren't really that encouraging to us. And they were not discouraging out of meanness. They were discouraging out of fear. They did not understand why I was making some of the changes that I was making. And I did not have enough experience with these concepts and ideas yet by then or back then. And in the beginning, at least, you know, for the first couple of years, I certainly didn't have a lot of proof to demonstrate that there was merit to why I was doing what I was doing differently. I just knew that it had to be done differently because the things were making sense. The things were lining up. I was getting it. Things were clicking. Things were falling into place. Nowadays, of course, those friends and family who discouraged me, who told me, oh, you know, you got to play it safe, and who else do you know who's doing it that way, and no one does it that way, and who do you know who's done it before? You know, now they come to my house, and, you know, my house speaks for itself. They can tell, obviously, something works or worked. But, you know, in the beginning, when you've really got nothing to show for it, you just know you're on the right track. Having your spouse or significant other in your corner, even if you just have that one person in your corner, it can really make all the difference in the world. And so a very, very long way of saying I want to encourage everyone to, you know, even invite them to be on these calls live with you and ask them, you know, tell them they're welcome. And you got it from me, you got it from Scott. You're welcome to invite your spouse or significant other on these calls with you. You're welcome to raise their hand and ask a question if they want to. They're welcome to participate on the discussion forum and get involved. You know, they're part of your team. And that might end up being the most valuable lesson you'll ever learn from me. Hopefully not. Hopefully I'll teach you even more great stuff. That's a really important lesson.
Absolutely. You know, not just having them, you know, engaging in this, but then you guys having a conversation about it afterwards. You know, that's the other thing I would add too, is just, you know, have an intentional conversation to process together, either as a team, if it's staff or your spouse or significant other, getting together and say, you know, let's just talk through some of the things that, you know, Arjun mentioned on the call, and then even come up with some action items. You know, what are your next steps, and how can you take action upon what you're learning and what you're being coached on? Because it's one thing to jump on this call, listen to it, and say, you know, that was really great. You know, that was really insightful. I really appreciate Arjun taking the time out and investing, and, you know, wow, I never thought about things that way. And then tomorrow wake up and it'd be another day in your law firm. That's one scenario. It's another thing to be able to say, you know what, Arjun mentioned a number of next steps that can be done. What are two or three that we need to take action on right now? Who's going to take that action and assign it and then give it a deadline? Okay, when are we going to complete that by? And that is really where you get to the implementation and the best use of your investment in this coaching. So that'd be one thing that I'd add to that, Arjun, is just, you know, it's one thing to bring them on, but take those next steps. And usually at the beginning of the call, I say get out a pad of paper and a pen. I didn't say that, But if you haven't done that, get out a pad of paper and a pen and write down next steps. And as Arjun goes through today's coaching call, write down those next steps and then put a name by it. Even if it's just your name, put a name by it of who you're assigning that to, and then put a deadline by which you're going to hold yourself accountable to get that item done.
All right. So what do you want to do?
All right. Well, let's go into this. We talked about doing some comparisons versus 2019 versus last year, 2018, and some key numbers to look at when you're comparing. So share with us those numbers and what are some key indicators that we need to be looking at for the comparisons for this year versus last year.
All right, so the four things we're going to cover on today's call, we kind of broke this call into four segments, and then we'll do Q&A. The first segment is, well, five if you want to count that mindset lesson at the beginning. We're going to talk about some key numbers that you can look at to more objectively measure your 2018. If you're not looking at some numbers, then what you're going to end up doing is measuring 2019 based on your feelings, based on your emotions, and that is a amateur hour way of measuring your business. You got to measure your business by numbers. You don't need a lot of numbers. If you look at just five simple numbers that I'm going to share with you today, and these are simple numbers, you will have a really good insight into what's actually going on in your business. It'll cut through all the crap if you look at these five simple numbers. Lawyers run around saying, oh, I know my business. If you know your business, then you know these numbers. If you don't know these numbers, then you don't really earn the right to say you know your business. And I want to make it clear, I'm not talking about Shark Tank, know your numbers. You know, you watch Shark Tank and the sharks. By the way, if you don't watch Shark Tank, you should start watching Shark Tank if you take your business seriously. It's a really good show, and it teaches a lot of practical lessons about business analysis. The questions that the sharks ask are very legitimate business questions that you should be thinking about how you would answer if your spouse or significant other said to you, hey, honey, you know, we need to make a decision whether or not I, your spouse or significant other, whether I am going to invest in your business again next year. I need to make a decision whether or not to invest in your business for 2019, and I need to decide if I'm going to continue to extend you a line of credit, but in other words, whether I'm going to allow you to continue to use household financial resources to help run your law firm, whether I'm going to continue to be a co-signer on a line of credit or maybe a home equity loan that you're using to fund your law firm, whether I'm going to continue to tolerate you earning maybe $75,000 or $125,000 or $200,000 per year when if we just shut down this law firm and you could go out and get a job and make more than that, whether I'm going to continue to extend you the courtesy and the credit of letting you, you know, work on the weekends and miss family activities and cover for you with the kids. You know, I need to make a decision whether I'm in it for another year or not. And to help me make a more rational decision, I, as your chief investor, want to know about some key numbers in the business, some simple key numbers in the business, and I want to see a plan, a written plan in plain English, no fancy mumbo jumbo. I don't need fancy charts and graphs or complicated research. I just need you to be able to explain to me in plain English the answer to some very simple questions that I need to know the answers to, that I deserve to know the answers to, so that me and the kids can decide whether or not we are going to invest in your business and give you our support again next year. So we're talking about some of those key numbers, and we're talking about some of those questions that you should be prepared to answer. But the comment that I was making about Shark Tank, Scott, is that on Shark Tank, on the show, the entrepreneurs are sometimes chastised for not having their numbers memorized. And sometimes if you watch Shark Tank, you think that the phrase, quote unquote, know your numbers is synonymous with memorize your numbers. And I want to say, my business will gross about, well, let's just say it'll gross over $10 million this year. I'm not sure if we'll get past 11, but it'll definitely do over $10 million this year. I will personally report into the seven figures on my personal tax return, my wife and I. We run almost $250,000 a month in payroll for our 35-plus employees, full-time employees. And there are very few numbers that I walk around with conversational knowledge about in my business. I don't walk around, quote-unquote, memorizing my numbers, but I know my numbers, which is I know where to get them, I know how to get them, I can get my hands on them easily and understand where they come from and what they mean and what the implications are. So I just want to let everyone off the hook in case you feel a little bit intimidated with the idea of when I say know your numbers, I don't mean memorize your numbers. All right. We're also going to talk about some things to do with taxes. We're getting down to the end of the year. We've got, one more call this year, Scott, or two?
One more call, just the December call.
Right, so we got one more call this year, so I got to talk to you about your taxes, because if you wait until December, it will be too late, and you will miss it, and you will miss out. I want everyone on this call to seriously consider doing an exercise, and if you will commit to do the exercise, I want you to maybe raise your hand on the call and commit to do the exercise. Thank you. If you are not going to commit to do the exercise, I'd like you to raise your hand on the call and challenge me on why you're not going to commit to do the exercise, or ask me for clarification on why I think this exercise is important. But are you ready for this one, Scott?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
This is the ultimate truth, face the truth exercise. It's painful. It's excruciating. I've had lawyers literally tell me that they almost had a nervous breakdown doing this exercise. But if you push your way through it and you do this exercise, it can be a game changer for you. It can literally change the rest of your life. And we're going to talk about that exercise in the second part of this call. If I forget to come back to it, you remember to ask me, or someone to raise your hand and ask me.
After that build up, I'm not going to let you forget that one.
All right. This exercise could put an extra $100,000 a year in your pocket, and I'm not exaggerating at all. I've known many people, myself included, who this exercise broke the ice and unlocked us for things that created pretty amazing changes in our lives for the better, financial lives. The third section of the call is going to talk about some simple things you can do at the end of the year to give yourself a nice revenue bump. Might be $25,000, might be $50,000. It could even be more than that, but I would say that for the average person on this call, we're probably $25,000, $50,000, nice revenue bump at the end of this year. And most of this revenue will be more profitable than most of the revenue you earned in the beginning of the year. So we're talking about some things, a few simple things you can do that don't cost you any money that could give you a $25,000 or $50,000 revenue bump. And hey, even if it's only $15,000 revenue bump, wouldn't that be nice? an extra $15,000 of extra revenue you weren't counting on, most of which will be profit. And then the last session of the lesson, we'll be talking about kind of bringing it back to the question your family either has or would have if they knew better and they knew enough to ask. Your family would be asking you to explain to them in plain English, what is your plan to make this thing worth doing in 2019? Otherwise, let's just seriously have a conversation about shutting down your law firm and getting a job. Which, by the way, Scott, I don't know if we talked about this before with the members, but we offer a free, this is like my version of pro bono services. Anyone who is going to shut down your law firm and just get a job, and you know, if you're not going to make a commitment to do what is required to make your law firm successful, then at least have the courage to admit that to yourself and have enough self-respect and respect to your family and respect to your clients, too, to let us help you shut down your law firm in an orderly way. And I promise I will give you – I'm not saying that I can necessarily do this when we've got thousands of members, but we certainly as of November 2018, we don't have thousands of members of this all-digital program yet. And you know, I can still – make this offer to say that I will give you private personal coaching to help you figure out how to get a job. It's very, very, very simple to get a job as an attorney if you know a few very simple things, which I will give you free coaching on that if that's the decision you decide to make to help you shut down your law firm and get a job. So then we'll do Q&A. So, Scott, are you ready?
I am ready.
All right. Key numbers. There's five key numbers. All right, listen, Scott. There's 50 numbers you could know. There's 500 numbers you could look at. There's infinite different ways to slice and dice and drive yourself absolutely insane having to know numbers. And when you get to about $3 million in revenue, you're going to have a full-time in-house chief financial officer, and that person is going to spend a big percentage of his or her time really just crawling through your numbers and slicing and dicing and analyzing them to see what opportunities they can spot, what trends they can identify. Truly, a good CFO will pay for him or herself. When I hired my current CFO, his base salary is $250,000 a year, and he works for me for free, as far as I'm concerned, because he makes and saves me more than that per year. So it's not an expense for me. It's an investment for me to have this person on my team. But until you're at that point, you can start looking at your numbers, and these are simple numbers to look at, and these should be simple numbers for any halfway competent bookkeeper to give you these numbers in, like, you know, right away. I mean, it should take your bookkeeper less than 30 minutes to pull these numbers together, less than an hour for sure to pull these numbers together. Number one number is gross revenues. Gross revenues. This is every dollar that you have collected and put into your operating account. We do not count money you put into your trust account as part of your gross revenues, because that's not your money. When the money goes from the trust account into the operating account, because you pay yourself, you can then count it as gross revenues. Gross revenues. You want to know three numbers on gross revenues. You want to know last year gross revenues, year to date. You want to know this year gross revenue, year to date. In other words, where were we in gross revenues at the end of October 2017. Today is the middle of November 2018, so you've all closed out your books for October. So you want to look at October 2017 against year-to-date October 2018 to see if 2018 is on pace to be better or worse than 2017. It's also a good idea to look at just the month of October against just the month of October. I've had conversations with too many lawyers to count who get very, very upset. I remember one lawyer in particular years ago, and he was like really upset that June was just his law firm. He thought his law firm was failing because June was so much worse than May. And he's like, oh, my God, last month we did, I forgot what the number was. It was like $80,000 or $90,000. And this year and this month, June, we only did like, it was something like $50,000. It was just like such a huge drop off. And he's like panicking. And I said, well, hold on a second. Let's look at May of this year against May of last year against May of the year before, June of this year against June of last year against June of the year before. And measuring May against June is a false comparison. Measuring May against May, measuring June against June, that is an honest objective. That's a real comparison. And what he saw was, wow, June is always worse than May in his firm. For some reason, June is just always worse than May. However, this May is better than last May, and this June is better than last June, which means the firm is actually growing. But if you look at May against June, you might be misled to believe that the firm is not growing, and that's where you make bad emotional decisions. So gross revenues, year to date, gross revenues, month on month. Number two, second number, cost of acquisition. You take the total amount you spend on marketing and sales. Just take the number. Don't worry about making it exactly precise or accurate. Just total amount that you think you spent on marketing and sales. Divide that by the number of cases that you opened. So how much did you spend on marketing and sales last year against how many cases did you open last year? I spent $100,000 on marketing and sales in 2017, and I opened 100 cases in 2017. Clearly, we can do the math. That means your cost of acquisition was $1,000 per case. If this year you spent $100,000 on acquisition, marketing and sales, but you open 200 cases, well, clearly that means your cost of acquisition is dropping, which means you're getting better at marketing, you're getting better at sales, and you're acquiring cases more efficiently. So you take the total amount you spent divided by the total number of open cases. If your bookkeeper cannot give you these numbers, your bookkeeper is incompetent. Listen to me, everyone. If your bookkeeper cannot give you these numbers, your bookkeeper is incompetent. There is no excuse for a bookkeeper to not be able to give you these numbers. There is no excuse. Now, you may discover that your bookkeeper will not give you this information. If your bookkeeper can give you this information, but simply is uncooperative or unwilling to give you this information, that's a different problem. I think the solution to both problems is the same, but the bookkeeper who can't versus the bookkeeper who can but won't, essentially, same solution for both. You got to know your cost of acquisition. You've got to know that number. Third number, number of cases that you opened versus number of cases that you closed. How many cases did you open last year? How many cases did you close last year? How many cases have you opened this year? How many cases have you closed this year? Simple comparison, number of cases opened versus number of cases closed. Did you open more cases this year than last year? That's good. Did you close more cases this year than last year? That's also good. If you opened more cases and you closed fewer cases, what that means is you've got a clog in your system. There's a backlog building up, and you better pay attention and figure out where it is and what to do about it before the pipe bursts on you next year. All right, Number four, your average case value. Your average case value. Listen, there's 100 ways to complicate this analysis, and they're all valid reasons to do it. There's a lot of valid reasons to do this in a much more sophisticated way than I'm suggesting here on this call. But until and unless you've got a CFO, you can just work with some rough numbers to get some basic ideas. Your average case value, very simple. You take your gross revenue, which is that number we talked about first, your gross revenue divided by the number of cases you closed. Gross revenue last year divided by number of cases you closed last year. If you grossed $1 million last year and you closed 100 cases last year, then your average case value was $10,000. Now, that is not a correct number, but it's close enough for you to do some analysis, because what we're interested in is knowing, did your average case value go up this year against last year? Did your average case value remain steady this year against last year? Or is your average case value declining this year against last year? You just need to see the trend. You don't need to get – it doesn't need to be exact. It just needs to show you a trend. Gross revenue divided by number of cases closed. Again, these are numbers that your bookkeeper should be able to give you in less than an hour. If your bookkeeper cannot give you this information in less than an hour, it means your bookkeeper has not been keeping up with your numbers. If they got to scramble around and they say, oh, man, I haven't been paying attention to this, but I can pull this together for you, but it's going to take me a long time to pull it together for you, essentially what they're telling you is, I have not been doing the maintenance. I have not been maintaining your books, and now I have to catch up because you're finally asking me some intelligent questions about your own business. All right, last number is your labor cost ratio. Your labor cost ratio. The lower this number, the better. You simply divide your revenue divided by labor cost. Revenue divided by labor cost. If it costs you $100,000 to produce $1 million in revenue, $1 million divided by 100,000 is 10. You have a labor cost ratio of 10. If you can produce the same $1 million of revenue for only $50,000, then your labor cost ratio will be 5. That's better. The lower your labor cost ratio is, the more efficiently your operation, your business is operating, and all things being equal, the more profitable it should be. These numbers, your gross revenue, your cost of acquisition, your number of cases open versus your number of cases closed, your average case value, and your labor cost ratio are leading indicators. Well, some of them are leading indicators. This is like the canary in the coal mine. If these numbers start to look shaky, there's still time to evacuate. There's still time to do something about it. There's still time to call and get some help before your business goes down the tubes. If you pay attention to these numbers every month, I promise you, you're going to have a much better insight into what's really going on in your business, and you'll be able to make much better decisions, much more proactive decisions, and your life will be less reactionary. Now, got to give you a word of warning. It's like the 47-year-old guy who stopped exercising a year ago because he made a bunch of excuses and suddenly started jogging again. You know, those first few times hurt. If you have not been looking at these numbers regularly, the first few times you look at these numbers, it may hurt. It may hurt because you're unfamiliar and you have to struggle intellectually to wrap your head around it, but you'll get used to it. You'll develop the skills. You get the experience. And it may hurt because you might see some things you don't really want to see and that you don't like the way it looks. And maybe that will motivate you to do something about it rather than just ignoring it. All right. Scott, any questions about the key numbers before we move on to taxes?
No, I think you hit all the key numbers. Being able to review those and not just reviewing it for this year, but pull those again for last year and do your comparisons there to see where you're at this year versus last year. Look for any fluctuation in the numbers and then, set some goals for 2019 as part of it as you move forward into the new year. So I think you hit it.
All right. And again, I just want to emphasize, if the only thing you get out of doing this exercise by asking your bookkeeper, give me this information, give me my gross revenue this year against last year total, last year year-to-date where we are, this year total year-to-date, give me my cost of acquisition by taking my total marketing spend divided by my number of open cases, give me my number of cases open versus number of cases closed, which your bookkeeper should have access to that too. Give me my average case value, gross revenues divided by number of cases closed, and give me my labor cost ratio, revenue divided by labor costs. If the only thing you learn from asking your bookkeeper for this information is that your bookkeeper has no idea what you're talking about, and that prompts you to find a better bookkeeper for 2019, I will have done you a great service to you and your family for 2019 because you will engage better professional services. All right, taxes. Number one, make sure your bookkeeper is closing your books every month. If by the middle of the following month you don't have your books closed, that is a problem. You've got to get your books closed by about the middle of the following month. The sooner the better, but you've got to get that. That means every month your bookkeeper has to be giving you an updated budget. Your bookkeeper has to be giving you a budget variance report. Your bookkeeper has to be giving you an updated accounts receivables report. Your bookkeeper should be giving you an updated cash position, cash and operating, cash and trust. Your bookkeeper should be giving you an updated WIP report, work in progress report. How much work do you have in progress that's not yet been built? Budget variance report. Oh, cash flow projection. Your bookkeeper should be giving you an updated cash flow projection within 2 weeks of the end of every month. Your bookkeeper should also be giving you every month when they close their books. They should be showing you the 941s. 941s. Just write down 941s. I must see my 941. 941 is the form that the bookkeeper should be using to file your taxes with your quarterly withholdings with the IRS. I'm sorry, your payroll tax, your taxes with the IRS. I might be getting my form number mixed up, but you should be looking for two documents at the end of every month. One is you should be looking for a receipt that your bookkeeper remitted the payroll taxes to the IRS. You collect the payroll taxes by withdrawing it or withholding it from your employees. You've got to see that money was actually paid to the IRS. If you're using a service like ADP or Paychex or something like that, they do this for you automatically. You probably don't have anything to worry about. If you're not using a payroll service like that, then you got to be seeing to make sure your payroll taxes are actually being paid. You're collecting the money. You got to make sure it gets paid. I saw an owner of a $1 million law firm who brought us in this year, and we discovered that his bookkeeper was not they were withholding the 941. They were withholding the payroll taxes, but they were not paying the payroll taxes to the IRS. The bookkeeper, unbeknownst to this lawyer, was using the payroll taxes as essentially an internal line of credit for the firm. that's the kind of thing that gets you into jail. Don't let that happen. You got to be remitting your payroll taxes. And then, of course, your quarterly K-1 withholdings. 941 is the payroll taxes. Your K-1 withholdings. So you get paid three different ways from your law firm, hopefully. You should be getting a W-2 salary from your law firm with payroll taxes withheld. You should also be getting K-1 distributions, that's shareholder distributions. And when you get those shareholder distributions, you're supposed to pay income tax on those shareholder distributions. And you file a K-1 form. Again, your bookkeeper should know this. And you should be filing those K-1 taxes. In 2013, I remember I had the flu. I had an appointment to speak with my accountant. I was in bed. This is why I remember where I was, because I had the flu and I was talking to my accountant while I was in bed. And my accountant told me, hey, congratulations. Last year was your best year ever. I see you finally broke the seven-figure barrier. In 2012, this was 2013, I'm having this conversation. And I said, yes, thank you. And my accountant was congratulating me. And he said, listen, you owe $60,000 in K-1 distribution taxes on distributions. And I said, what do you mean I owe $60,000? And he said, well, you know, last year you grossed $600,000, and the year before you grossed $600,000. So we were putting money aside every quarter expecting you to only gross $600,000, but you knocked it out of the park. You did over $1 million last year, in the most recent year. And so we weren't putting enough money aside in your quarterly withholdings. And so I had to come up with an extra $60,000 on very short notice. Now, I want to make it clear. I didn't overpay. It didn't cause me to overpay on my taxes. It was a timing problem. So you want to make sure your bookkeeper is doing the timing of this right so you don't wake up and suddenly, hey, congratulations, you had your best year ever, and now you've got a big tax bill that you have not been setting money aside for and planning for. All right. Next, you should be meeting with your tax strategist now. If you do nothing else, please do this. Send an email to your tax strategist, whoever does your tax strategy work with you, and say, I want to meet as soon as possible, but definitely before the end of the year. If you wait until April of next year February or March of next year, if you wait until after December 31st of this year to meet with your tax strategist, it will be too late to do a lot of things that can save you a lot of money on your taxes. We do a tax strategy workshop every couple times a year. We do a tax strategy workshop, and we offer a triple your money back guarantee. That is, the fee for attending the tax strategy workshop, we guarantee that we're going to show you how to save three times that much in taxes, or you get a prorated refund on the fee for coming to the tax strategy workshop. And in all the years we've been doing this, with dozens and dozens of firms that have gone through it, we've only ever had to give that refund twice. And both of them were causes for celebration, not causes for or unhappiness. And that's because one of them, the reason we had to get a refund is because the lawyer simply did not have enough income he applied the strategies, but there just wasn't enough income to apply the strategies to, and so he couldn't get the savings, and that's why we later realized we had to make a minimum threshold for the guarantee. In other words, if you don't take at least $150,000 a year out of your firm, we can't guarantee that we're going to save you enough money to triple the fee, because you can't get a gallon out of a quart. I think everyone understands that. But that lawyer, said he got a lot of value and he's going to save a lot of money in the future. And he said, keep the money that I paid you as a credit, and let me do another workshop with you. And we did, and we're still, you know, very good terms with that lawyer. And the other lawyer actually just sent me a book that he wrote, and to his great credit, he was a very sophisticated business attorney, very, very sophisticated business attorney, and he actually already knew and was implementing all of the tax strategies, or most of the tax strategies that we were using at the workshop, and so we were not able to save him any money because he was already saving all the money himself. But in the last tax strategy workshop we did, the least that anyone saved was $20,000 a year in taxes. That was the least that anyone saved in that tax strategy workshop. That's $20,000 of after-tax disposable consumer power. What would you do if you had $20,000 to spend on something? Would you take a luxury vacation? Would you put a down payment on a condo? Or an investment property? Would you pay off a bunch of bills? Would you dump it in your kid's college fund? Would you maybe use it to jumpstart a new marketing initiative or hire a new employee? What would you do with $20,000? That's how much money you could be saving on your taxes with proper tax strategies. But the time to be meeting with your tax strategist is before the end of the year, not at or after the end of the year. Ideally, you should be meeting with your tax strategist in January to plan the year. But I'm assuming, and I probably shouldn't make assumptions, but I think it's a pretty safe bet, that most of the people listening to this did not meet with their tax strategist in January of this year. And so you do not have a tax strategy that you've been working on all year. And so at least now in November, there's still time to do something to try to salvage that situation to the tune of maybe $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 in savings instead of $10,000 or $20,000 in savings. But still, it's $3,000 or $4,000 in savings. All right. Exercise. You ready for the exercise?
I'm ready for it. I've been looking forward to this one.
All right. This is the exercise that's going to break you free. You know what? I'm going to save it for later. All right. This exercise, when you do it, will break you free to make a lot more money. Maybe a lot of more money for some of you is only $20,000 or $30,000 a year of additional income. Maybe for some of you, a lot more money is $200,000 or $300,000 of additional income. I doubt very much that any of you are already making more than $1 million from your law firms, or you probably would already be in our $1 million solo lawyers club. But this exercise will definitely be something that could shake loose an extra $10,000, $20,000, $50,000, $100,000 a year of additional income. What would you, just imagine what you would do with an extra $10,000 or $20,000 of additional income. You could make an extra $20,000 of additional income. I'm not talking gross. I'm talking net. What could that do for your life? Just take a moment and just imagine what that could do for your life, and that's what you'll be missing out on if you don't do this exercise. Which, Scott, wouldn't you think that with something like that, everyone would do this exercise, especially if I tell you it'll only cost you $100 to do the exercise? And by the way, I'm not selling you the $100. This $100 is not going to my pocket. It'll only cost you $100 to do this exercise, and I promise you it could shake loose an extra $20,000 or $30,000 of income in your life. Don't you think everyone, every rational person listening to this would try it?
I would like to believe they would try it, but experience tells me that not everybody will.
Most people won't, because most people, when push comes to shove, are just plain full of shit. And if that causes someone to get offended and, you know, cancel their subscription to this program, then, you know, I'm sorry to say, you know, if the truth hurts, do something about the truth. Don't run away from it. So if you do this exercise, then we know you're serious. If you don't do this exercise, well, you know, that's okay. Just acknowledge that you're not really serious about building a more successful law firm and giving your family a better life. Because you waste hundreds of dollars every week on bullshit, and I'm giving you an opportunity to do an exercise that only cost you $100 that I promise you will shake loose a lot of money in your life. So we'll get to that later. Year-end revenue bump. You ready?
Yes. Simple things you can do to give yourself a revenue bump before the end of the year.
Yeah. So had a conversation with some members of the Million Dollar Solo Lawyers Club the last time we met. And over dinner, we all went out for a really nice dinner and, you know, beautiful table setting and, you know, fine china and beautiful lighting and really, really, really nice restaurant up in Cary, North Carolina, near the Umstead Resort. And I don't really drink wine, but they said the wine was fantastic and they loved it. And we were talking about how you reach a certain point in the growth of your law firm where your ego kind of has to check itself. Like you sort of have to check your ego at the door. Because you reach a certain point and you realize that having $1 million, $2 million, $3 million, $7 million, $5 million, the biggest firm at the table was like over $30 million, but the average was around $3 to $5 million. Solo, single shareholder law firm. By solo, I mean single shareholder, not like there's only one human being in the firm. Single shareholder, average $3 to $5 million. And we are all kind of talking about at some point you just sort of realize that the sad truth of the matter is that half of our success, if we're really being honest with ourselves, Scott, half of our success comes from the fact that most people in the market are simply forfeiting the game. They just don't even show up to play. Like half the reason why the owners of the $1 million law firms, the multi-$1 million law firms, and $1 million solo lawyers club, half the reason why we have the businesses we have is because most people in the market just don't show up on game day, or they show up but they're not ready to play. You know, they don't read books that can be read. They don't participate in webinars that are available. They don't take advantage of 100% money back opportunities to attend workshops and seminars and things like that. I mean, you'd think, Scott, that when you offer an opportunity to get a 100%, a triple your money back, you got to get three times the savings in taxes. I mean, no one likes paying money to the government for taxes. So when you figure if you're offered the opportunity to save three times the admission price for the workshop or your money back, that should be a no-brainer, right? But still,
yeah.
People have excuses, right? You think that when you're given an opportunity to participate in a workshop on sales or a workshop on when and how to hire and train and manage staff, and it all comes with a 100% money back guarantee, you think that that would be a no-brainer. But the truth of the matter is most law firm owners, certainly most struggling law firm owners, are more attached to their excuses and their stories than they are committed to really producing better results in their lives. So sadly, I know that the vast majority of the people listening to this, Scott, when offered the opportunity to do an exercise that a guy who's built a $10 million business in less than 10 years from nothing and helped hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and maybe into the thousands of law firm owners build highly successful law firms and run the $1 million solo lawyers club tell you, try this exercise. It's only going to cost you $100. I know that the vast majority of people listening to this still won't do it. And they're basically just making it too easy for the rest of us to be successful. So on behalf of everyone in my $1 million solo lawyers club, to everyone who nods their head but doesn't do the exercise that I'm going to share with you at the end of this call, thank you. You make our wonderful lifestyles possible. Ready for the year-end red and above?
Let's go for it.
Well, I just taught the lesson that underpins the whole thing. And the fact of the matter is that most lawyers stop running before they get to the finish line. Most law firm owners stop running before they get to the finish line. The year is not over until midnight on December 31st. Until then, you still have an opportunity to make your year better. A few years ago, when I broke $1 million for the first time, I broke $1 million based on a check that I literally received and deposited on December 31st. December 31st, I received a check overnight from someone who wanted to prepay the following year to get a tax savings, and I deposited that check into the bank because that number is what actually caused me to, quote-unquote, break the $1 million barrier. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Well, you know, if I had been, you know, coasting for the last 2 months of the year, I wouldn't have done that. The fact of the matter is most lawyers in your market are forfeiting the last 2 months of the year. The fact of the matter is your clients are more worried and more concerned and more agitated and more focused on how to make next year better now than they will be at almost any other time of the year. Because, you know, they're realizing that they've missed all the other opportunities that they've had. And now also they're out of work for the holidays, they're home with their families, and it's the perfect opportunity to pick up the phone and make what we call gas calls. Give a shit calls. Call all of your former clients or call as many of your former clients as you can find time to call and say to them, hey, it's the end of the year, and I like to make it a practice to call some of my favorite clients at the end of the year whenever I can and really just say thank you for being a client, thank you for trusting your case and your matter to me, and I just want to find out more about how did your 2018 wrap up for you and what are your plans for 2019, and I just wanted to see how you're doing because I care about you and to say thank you. And just have a conversation. And you know what happens when you have that conversation with 20 or 30 or 40 of your clients, Scott?
Well, there's going to be a number of them that say that they've got plans coming up. They need you. That they consider that a timely call. That out of the blue, they've got a need. And then you call. So they're going to need your services.
They appreciate it. They know you care. Some of them are going to say, wow, I've been meaning to call you. I need help with something else. Some of them are going to say, hey, you know what? I'm glad you called. I've got someone I need to introduce you to or refer you to. Some of them are going to say, I have no need for your services anymore. Thank you very much. I appreciate what you did for me, but I don't need your services anymore. Nor does anyone that I know need your services. But, you know, I'm going to start a business. Can you refer me to a business attorney? I need a new accountant. Can you refer me to a new accountant? I'm buying a house. You know a good realtor. Take an active interest in what's going on with them as human beings, with their hopes and their dreams and their goals and their plans and what they did for this year and what they plan to do for next year. And you call 20 or 30 of them, which costs you nothing to do, and you're going to pick up $10,000 or $20,000 of either repeat business, referral business inbound, or referrals you can make to people who are then going to be in a position to refer business back to you. And this is just a really, really simple way to give yourself a nice year-end revenue bump. And yet most lawyers who will say, yep, if I did that, it would probably work. I believe it would work for anyone. There's no reason it shouldn't work for me. Wouldn't cost me anything to try it. Don't need to spend a bunch of money on fancy technology or a new website or anything like that. Worst thing that happens is I call some clients and I let them know that I care about them and I put some good karma out into the world. Can't hurt me. And yet most lawyers won't do shit with this. I'm like laying money down in front of you at your feet, and most lawyers still won't bend over to pick it up. Like I said, on behalf of everyone with a million-dollar law firm, thank you for forfeiting the game because we like to win. All right? Ready, Scott? Number four?
Before you go on, Arjun, I'll say that, I've talked with a couple of our members here in All Digital who've been doing the gas calls, and both of them have said that, it was a little bit nerve-wracking in the first call or second call, but then they actually enjoyed it the more calls that they did, that they felt better just as a human being, just as a person in reaching out and doing that. And so if your hesitation is, I'm not sure how, what to say or how to say it, we have talked about it in one of our previous coaching calls, and Arjun gave a portion of a script, and I'll be glad to help you get that coaching lesson out of it. But write it down. Write down your script, and then have a script for if somebody answers the phone, and then have a script for, well, if I get a voicemail, I'm going to leave a voicemail. So have a script for a voicemail. And you'll find out that not only as you do these calls will you be helping your clients, but that you will be feeling better as a person, that you are doing good in helping others, and that you're wanting to invest back in them. So if your hesitation is not knowing what to say, how to say it, let me know, and I'll help you with the script and walk you through it. And then I'd love to hear back. Go into the forum, shoot me an email, post on the forum, and let us know how your gas calls go. And work with one another about some of the ideas that you guys are having with one another when it comes to doing your gas calls and what's working and successful for you and how those are turning out. So that's one thing that I would just add, just having spoken with a couple of our members who are actively doing those gas calls every month.
Oh, yeah. They're scary to make in the beginning, And the thing people usually hesitate on is, well, what happens if I find out that they're not happy? Well, wouldn't you rather know that they're not happy so you can find a way to try to fix it or even make an apology rather than have them out there, stewing? The truth cannot hurt you because the truth is the truth, whether you know about it or not. Better to know about it and then be empowered to do something about it than keeping your head in the sand, because it's still going to be true. And Scott, I hope that everyone understands that when I'm saying things like, thank you on behalf of me and all the other members of the Million Dollar Club for forfeiting the game, we like to win, I'm trying to like challenge you. I'm trying to like get you to step up. I'm trying to get you to, anyway, I think everyone gets what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to be a jerk. All right.
No, trying to get them to be a $1 million law firm. I mean, that's exactly what
they're
doing.
Yeah, there's no reason. Whatsoever. Right? There's no one on this call. There's no one in this all digital membership there's no one on this digital membership that has shared any information with us that leads me to believe that you can't have a $1 million firm in the next 36 to 48 months. Some of you could have it much, much sooner. Some of you, I just don't think any of you do have a $1 million firm, or you wouldn't be in the digital program. You'd be in a C-suite, or you'd be in the $1 million solo lawyers club. But there's no one on this call who shared. I mean, you want to raise your hand and say, here's this unique situation that I have that prevents me from being able to have a $1 million firm in the next 36 to 48 months. You want to get on the call and raise your hand at the end of this thing. I'll be happy to help you think it through. And maybe you do have something, and I'll say, hey, I don't mind being, maybe I'll stand corrected, but that doesn't happen very often that I'm wrong about people being able to build $1 million firms. By the way, maybe you don't want to have a $1 million firm. That's fine. I'm not saying you should. Maybe you only want to have a firm, maybe you only want to have a lifestyle that requires a $500,000 firm to support. If you only need a $500,000 law firm to support the lifestyle you want to live, don't bother building a $1 million firm. Why do that if you don't need it? You do it because you have a reason for it. All right. Last thing is business plan. Do you love your family? Scott, do you love your family?
Absolutely. I just took my daughter overseas. We had a great time. My youngest daughter, I love my family dearly, all about making memories together.
Do you love them enough to plan for their future?
Yes.
If you love your family, you should write a business plan for them. That is the most romantic thing, the most loving thing you can do for your spouse or significant other. It's the most loving thing you can do for your family is to say, I care enough about our life together that I'm willing to make a plan to give us a life together. Business planning is an act of love and it's an act of self-respect. Not writing a plan for how your business is supposed to function next year is a dereliction of duty for a parent, for a spouse, certainly for a business owner or an employer. You don't have to do a complicated software. You don't need fancy technology. People have been writing business plans for law firms for hundreds of years, back when we just used pens and pieces of paper. My first business plan was literally written on a piece of paper, on a pad of paper, bunch of yellow pages, written by hand. It served me well. It just starts off with what are my financial goals? How much net income does it take to live the way I want to live next year? What do I guesstimate my gross margins are going to be to tell me how much I need to gross in order to take that much out of the business? If I got to make $100,000 and I figure I'm going to run 25% profit, that means 25%, $100,000 is 25% of $400,000, $400,000 gross. If my average case or matter is going to be $1,000 and I need 400 cases, and obviously and I need $400,000, and obviously I need 400 cases. If I got a 1/3 conversion ratio and I need 400 cases, 400 is 1/3 of 1,200. That means I need 1,200 prospective new clients to come in the door. It's 100 a month. If I'm going to have 100 clients a month coming in the door, I need to figure out a marketing plan to get 100 prospective new clients to come in the door. And I need to figure out a sales strategy for who is going to meet with 100 new clients a year, prospective new clients a year, and convert them into paying clients. And pretty soon you figure out that it can't be you doing all of this. So you got to start building a team, which means you got to start having workflow processes and systems and procedures for how you get the work done, and job descriptions for who's going to do what by when and why and how they're going to be compensated, and some financial control, budget, guarantee support, cash flow projections, the key numbers that I was talking about at the beginning of this call. Scott, correct me if I'm wrong, but everyone who is listening to this call has access to the business plan workshop recording and workbook as part of their membership. Am I right?
They should, yes. I will make sure that it's in the membership site for them.
So this is something that people used to pay us $5,000 to participate in. We used to sell this as a standalone program for $5,000. And for $5,000, lawyers would come in from all around the country, and we would do a two-day business plan, live business plan workshop, and they would walk out of there. And they walked in, and they'd never written a business plan in their life. They've never even read a business plan in their life. They don't even know what a business plan is. And they walk out of there after 2 days, and they're on their second or sometimes even their third draft of their business plan. And not surprisingly, their law firm becomes much, much more profitable, much easier to manage, and they just start living a much better life because they actually have a plan. Imagine taking a case to trial with no plan. No discovery plan, no plan for objections, no strategy, nothing in writing. You're just going to fucking wing it because you're so great. I mean, that's just stupid and irresponsible. And yet that's exactly how lawyers run their law firms. So we used to sell this business plan workshop for $5,000. And before people would come out to the business plan workshop, We would give them a recording to watch to get themselves prepared. And then at the business plan workshop, we would complete this workbook together. And you get the recording that prepares you for the business plan workshop, and you get the workbook that you can follow along and implement on your own for Scott. You ready for this? How much? Free! For nothing!
Free.
Because you're already paying for nothing, for free. You get it for nothing because you're already a member of Digital. This is one of the things you get for being a member of Digital. So there's some really great value there for you. All right, Scott, are we going to go to Q&A today or not go to Q&A today? I have 10 minutes
Q&A. We've got 10 minutes for Q&A. We will do it. I want to invite Stephanie on the line. And Arjun, we've got those two tickets to give away, so we'll do that at the very end of our call here after our Q&A. We'll give away the two free tickets or give you instructions on how to enter to win the free two free tickets to the next live quarterly meeting. So let me have
and
Stephanie
I just
come
be
on the
clear.
Line.
I want to just be clear. We're going to give you the two free tickets to come. It's two different Digital members each get a free ticket. Right?
Oh, so we're going to give away.
Or were we going to give.
Okay.
Or were we going to give away two. Okay. Either way you do it, Scott, all I'm saying is the tickets are free, but we're going to require, and I want everyone to understand this, we're going to require you to put up a deposit, a 100%, not just refundable, it 100% guaranteed will be refunded to you. We just need you to put up a deposit to guarantee you're going to show up and use the ticket. So we don't give the ticket to you instead of giving it to someone else who desperately wants it and could benefit from it, and then you don't even show up. So we're going to ask you to put up a deposit. And then when you get to the live quarterly meeting and you go to the registration table and you sign in and you get your name badge and you get your workbook and you get your course materials and you get all the good stuff that we're going to give you, you're also going to receive a check in an envelope already signed and made out to your name for the seat deposit, and it will be refunded to you right there on the spot, and you can cash it and there's your money back. But it guarantees you show up. And if you do not show up, I'm not going to donate the money to charity. I'm not going to use the money for a worthy cause. I'm going to use the money and I'm going to personally blow it on something fun and self-indulgent that has as little socially redeeming qualities as I can possibly think of. I'm just going to blow your money for fun if you don't show up. And I'm going to send you a picture or a video of me blowing your money if you put up a seat deposit for the live quarterly meeting and deny other people the opportunity to take that ticket and don't show up. Now, if you have an emergency, if something comes up, you send us a doctor's note, you know, we'll let you roll it over to the next live quarterly meeting. We're not going to, you know, we're not trying to stick it to you here. But I just want to make sure that if you take advantage of these free tickets, you use them, because it's not fair to other people who could benefit. All right, Scott, a little bit of Q&A.
All right. Stephanie, will you come on the line and give everyone instructions on how to get in the queue for the Q&A?
At this time, to enter the question queue, simply press star 1 at this time.
All right, so if you have a question, press star 1, and what will happen is our operator, Stephanie, she'll isolate your phone line, bring you onto the phone line with Arjun and myself. You'll be able to ask Arjun your question and get a direct response back from him. And then everyone else on the line, you'll be able to hear the question that is being asked and Arjun's answer to the question. So it's a great way to learn, not only get your questions answered, but learn from others who are asking questions. So if you have a question, press star 1. And Stephanie will isolate your phone line and bring you onto the call to do that. And Arjun, just for clarification, we were talking about the two free tickets. We will do two members. We'll get a ticket. So we'll do a drawing for two members will be selected,
and I'll give you instructions on how to enter to win, and I'll give you a deadline by which you're going to be able to do that, because we're not going to let this roll. I want to reward those who are on our coaching call live. So if you're listening to this by way of the recording, the CD, the membership site, I want you to know it pays to be on the call. So if you're on the call, you'll have the opportunity to enter to win. So we will announce that just before we hang up so that you can do that. So, Stephanie, are we ready for our very first question?
Yes, our first question comes from Carrie. Your line is open.
Hi, R. John. I was wondering, what is the exercise that you were talking about?
Oh, right. All right. You ready for this one?
Yep.
Okay. First off, a little background. Is your law firm is anything like almost everyone else's law firm? There's a lot of things you could be doing to make more money or save money that you're not doing that probably wouldn't take very long to do. Do you acknowledge that?
Yes.
Okay. Kind of like all of us have probably a few thousand dollars of shit laying around our house that's waiting to be returned to storage for credits and refunds, and we just don't ever get around to it, and then eventually we just donate it. You dig what I'm saying?
Yes.
Okay. So you acknowledge, do you acknowledge that if you were to look at these key numbers that I shared with you, you couldn't help but find opportunities to make your law firm more profitable to the tune of probably thousands of dollars?
Yes, I acknowledge that.
Okay. Do you acknowledge that if you were to sit with your accountant now instead of waiting till the end of the year to come up with a tax strategy, you could probably find an opportunity or ways you could move some things around and save a couple thousand dollars?
Sure.
Okay. Do you agree that if you were to pick up the phone and call 20 or 30 of your former clients and make these gas calls that we're describing, there's probably a really, really good chance that you come away with some, you know, thousands of dollars of new business?
Yes.
Okay. And do you agree that if you were to write a plan, a business plan, to revise your financial goals, your personal goals, your professional goals, and lay out a basic marketing plan and a basic sales strategy and lay out your SKUs and all the stuff that you're going to do there, that couldn't, that's got to help you grow your firm by, you know, $20,000, $30,000 or more next year?
Absolutely, and we are planning on doing that.
Okay, so here's what you do. Take out a fresh $100 bill or 5 20s, or 10 10s, or 25s, or $101 bills. Go to the bathroom, and one by one, tear them up and flush them down the toilet.
Okay.
That's it. Just stand over the toilet and tear up one by one by one $101 bills, or tear up $25 bills, or tear up 10 $10 bills, or 5 $20 bills, and just one by one tear them up and watch them go down the toilet.
Okay.
That's it. That's the exercise.
All right.
While you're watching them go down the toilet, just kind of think about all of the stories and excuses and reasons that you've given over the past year to not do the stuff that you acknowledge would make you a lot more money if you did them. So you could make tens of thousands of dollars of extra money, but you don't. You feel comfortable with stories and excuses and justifications, but you're probably going to have a nervous breakdown before you get halfway through the exercise. Or you might not even do it.
I'll do it. I'll flush the $100.
Okay. Do it. The smaller the bills and the more drawn out you can make it, I promise you, the better it will be. Because what you're really trying to do here with this exercise is you're trying to really get an opportunity to confront your bullshit and realize,
okay,
wait a second, this is insane. I'm having a nervous breakdown over a mere $100 when I'm wasting thousands of dollars and even tens of thousands of dollars every year, but I can't even bring myself to do anything about that, but I'm freaking out over $100 because the $100 in cash that you're tearing up is more real to you.
Yeah.
If every time you made a story or an excuse to not do something you know you could do to grow your business, you were forced to go to the bathroom and tear up cash, you'd stop making stories and excuses pretty quickly.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, there are lawyers listening to this. There's probably 100 lawyers listening to this on this call live right now, or maybe they'll listen to the recording later, and they'll say, that is just the stupidest thing ever. I don't need to tear up $100. That's just a waste. That's irresponsible. They're probably coming up with all kinds of reasons to discount this and dismiss me and say this is a horrible idea. And I'm telling you, try it.
Okay, we'll do it.
What happens? You lose $100. You lose $100 every week on bullshit anyway.
That's true.
And it might unlock
something. We'll do it.
And it might just, yeah, and I'm speaking to everyone listening to this, not just you, Carrie. And it might just unlock something that's stuck in your mindset that could really free you up to do some amazing things. All right.
Okay.
That's the exercise. Carrie, was
thank
you,
Arjun. Yeah, that's my only question.
All right. Scott, do we have anyone else?
Stephanie, do we have anyone else in the queue?
Yes. Next, we have Claudia. Your line is open.
Hello.
Hi, Claudia.
Hey, Claudia.
Hi. First of all, I want to let you guys know that I started my marketing. So I did do what you told me to last month.
You did what last month?
I started my marketing. So I did what you told me to do last month.
I apologize, but I don't remember what I asked you to do last month.
Oh, sorry. No, you told me that I had to start.
I'm sure
my
it was really
again.
Brilliant. I just don't remember what it was.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that I actually did what you told me to do and didn't just listen, but took some action.
I appreciate that. I just don't remember what I asked you to do.
To start back my marketing on, turn on my marketing, because I didn't
oh,
have
to turn it
on.
Back on.
Yeah.
You had turned it off, and you turned it back
yeah.
on.
Correct.
Okay. And how is that working for you?
Good, but the way I do my marketing is I build relationships with my referral sources. That way when they send me a client, it's pretty much a done deal. But I already started contacting, and I have already met some CPAs, and I do tax, and I'm going, and I have meetings for more. So that it usually takes about a month for a client to get in, but then it's pretty much a done deal when I meet them. Because they're being referred by their CPA. So that's
and the reason you had turned off your marketing is because you didn't have the production capacity.
Correct. I just felt overwhelmed. I'm feeling overwhelmed right now, but I'm just kind of working through it and just not even paying attention to that overwhelming feeling.
Raise your prices.
I know. You told me that's the second step. Once I start getting them more in, start getting new clients in, to raise my prices and to be more selective, and then with the profit, get additional help.
Or maybe you'll reduce demand by raising your prices and you'll make more profit on less volume. Either way, you solve your problem.
Correct. But I do have current clients that I'm working on, so it is what it is. I'll deal with it for now.
All right.
So my question was on when you talk about the key numbers, the cost of acquisition, and how much did you spend in marketing, do I include my time in that number?
No.
Just like car cost.
For purposes of this conversation, let's say no.
Okay.
Ultimately, in long term, the answer will turn out to be yes, but there's calculations that we have to do to get to the yes. So for now, just say no.
Okay. Okay.
The whole point here is here's the deal. The number itself doesn't really matter. What is important is the ratio. Because if your cost of acquisition was $1,000 last year and it's $2,000 this year, that's clearly a problem, don't you think?
Yes.
But if your cost of acquisition was $2,000 last year and $1,000 this year, then that's good. That's the point of this exercise, is we're looking for trends.
Okay.
Right?
Got it.
Because if it was $2,000 last year and it's $1,000 this year, what's the obvious question?
Why did it go up?
Exactly. I don't know the answer. Do you know the answer? You don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. The point of the exercise is to get to the question so you go looking for the answer. It's always amazing to me, lawyers who are supposed to be good at discovery, who are analytical, who are curious, who are supposed to be intellectually courageous, they won't even ask themselves basic questions about their business that force them to go on a journey of discovery to figure things out. The purpose of looking at most of these numbers is to get to the question why, so you can start to dig in and figure that out. And if you can't figure it out, you can come back to the forum on this digital membership and say, hey, this is what I discovered, and we'll help you figure out why. But first, you got to get the number so we can ask the question.
Okay. Got it.
Cool.
That was
all right. Any other questions?
No, that was it.
All right. Thanks, Claudia.
Thank you.
All right, Arjun, we have two more questions. Stephanie, we are ready for our next question.
And these will be the last two questions because I got to go.
That's right. These are the last two.
Next, we have Lena. Your line is open.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Yes, I have a staffing question. I was looking to hire one person who would be doing a little bit of everything, the receptionist, legal assistant, paralegal, and I started interviewing and I identified three great candidates, and they offer just a little bit of everything, but they're very different people. And during the interview, I just kind of realized it's probably going to be very difficult to find one person who's going to do a lot of different things, including paralegal and being constantly interrupted with the potential clients' calls and other calls and, you know, doing a legal assistant work. And I just kind of sort of thought maybe I should hire two people. And it's a little bit of a scary concept. It would be my first time hiring somebody full-time. I have a part-time marketing person who is sort of filling in the all kinds of hats. She hasn't done any marketing. I also have a part-time person who gave me 2.5 months notice, so she will be leaving in a month and a half. So what would you recommend? And currently,
okay. You said paralegal?
Yep.
Paralegal. You said receptionist?
And
what was the other
assistant.
Thing?
Legal assistant.
In your mind, what is the difference between a legal assistant and a paralegal?
Well, in my mind, so paralegal is somebody who would potentially work quite a bit uninterrupted, working on cases and just, you know, so they could actually concentrate and produce billable work. And it's very difficult would be to produce this type of work if you're constantly interrupted, if you're going to be doing more marketing and receiving more phone calls.
What is the job of a legal assistant?
Legal assistant in this case would be doing a job of receptionist and also preparing letters and
No.
Okay.
A legal assistant is a legal assistant, and a receptionist is a receptionist. So what's the job of a legal assistant? You can't say the job of a legal assistant is a receptionist, because the job of a receptionist is a receptionist. The job of a legal assistant is a legal assistant.
Okay, so legal assistant would be helping me preparing the letters, retainer agreements, assisting me. I do trust and estate. It would be assisting me. There's a signings, scanning the documents, that sort of thing. Doing some of the drafting,
okay,
perhaps.
And in your mind, what is the job of a receptionist?
Receptionist would be answering phone calls, answering email inquiries from the potential clients, vendors, dealing with email, managing the calendar, that sort of thing.
All right. You just described at least three different jobs in the job,
yep,
of receptionist. In the job of receptionist, you describe the job of a receptionist. You describe the job of a file clerk, and you describe the job of a marketing assistant.
Okay.
So the first thing you got to do is you got to get clear on what the job descriptions are. Pretend like you had 50 people working for you. If you had 50 people working for you, you would never in a million years say that the legal assistant is supposed to do the job of a receptionist, right?
Correct.
Okay. If you had 50 people working for you, the paralegal would be locked in a room with the door shut and no phone call and no light, and we would just have that person cranking out paralegal stuff, right?
Correct.
Okay. So you've got to build your firm that way from the beginning. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes. So I would hire more people.
Because if you hire a paralegal, for example, and you let the paralegal get distracted by doing receptionist work, and you let the paralegal get distracted by doing legal assistant work, then you will have just crippled your paralegal. And then your paralegal will never be able to be productive for you at a paralegal, even though they're going to be getting paid paralegal rates because they've got the skills.
Okay.
And then you stall the whole thing out. You follow what I'm describing here?
Yes.
Okay. So my suggestion, based on what you've said, and I'm just going to go on some, you told me a little bit. You didn't tell me everything, and I'm going to go based on almost 20 years of experience doing this. I'm admittedly making some assumptions, which is never safe to do, and I'm also going on a little bit of intuition. So take all of this with a few grains of salt. You get my meaning?
Yes.
But this is what I think you should do, based on what you told me. I think you should hire a paralegal first. And I think you should treat the paralegal as a paralegal. And I think you should not let the paralegal do reception work, even if he or she wants to. And I think you should not let the paralegal get dragged into legal assistant work, even if he or she wants to. And I think you should treat the paralegal like a machine. If you had a copy machine, what would you expect it to do? You would expect it to make copies and maybe some scans. You would not expect your copy machine to also answer the phone and make coffee. Would you?
Okay. Yeah, no, that's correct. Would I answer the phone then?
So hi. Well, so whatever's happening now is happening now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you hire
I do have somebody answering the phone part time, and then I brought a second person who will be a marketing person once she's but right now she's also answering the phone on the days when the first person in.
Fine. How much are you going to pay the paralegal?
I haven't decided yet, but probably $40,000-$50,000.
Let's say you pay the paralegal $50,000. Times 1.20 for benefits and everything else cost you $60,000 a year, right?
Okay, yeah.
$60,000 a year divided by how many productive hours do you expect to get out of the paralegal per year?
Oh, this is a very good question, provided that I can keep them busy. I am not sure. Let's say 800 hours.
Okay, how many productive hours do you expect to get out of the paralegal in a day?
Well, let's say if they don't have to be interrupted, but let's say they're going to be productive for 6 hours.
I think 4 is probably more realistic.
4, yep, yeah.
Let's just be conservative. 4 hours.
Yes.
Okay? So 4 hours a day, 4 hours a day times 5 days a week is 20 hours a week, 20 hours a week. And how many weeks per year do you expect the paralegal to be productive?
47.
46 is probably more realistic because you're not going to expect the person to work Christmas or Thanksgiving or New Year's or all the major holidays. They add up to 2 weeks. Then you're also probably going to count on this person taking a two-week vacation. Now you're down to 48 weeks. And then probably this person is going to take 2 weeks of just they're going to get sick, their kid's going to get sick, their car is going to break down, life's going to happen for another 2 weeks. And now we got 46 real weeks in a year. So 20 hours a week times 46 weeks is 920 hours a year. You with me?
Yes.
So $60,000 divided by 920 hours cost you $65 per hour.
Okay.
You pay $60,000 a year to buy 920 hours, you're paying $65 an hour. You with me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Do you understand how recklessly, irresponsibly wasteful it is to pay $65 an hour for a receptionist?
Oh, well, absolutely.
Okay, understand that every time the paralegal touches the phone to do the job of a receptionist, it's costing you $65 an hour. Now how do you feel every time the receptionist wants to flush $65 of your money down the toilet because he or she is trying to be helpful by doing the job of a receptionist?
Absolutely.
You get my point?
Yes.
This is the way you have to think about it. Okay. So how much are you going to bill the reception, the paralegal for?
$135, $150 an hour.
Let's say $135 an hour. Okay, again, to be conservative, $135 minus $65 is $70 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
$70 an hour times 920 hours is $64,000 a year of profit.
Okay.
So if I could lease you a machine for $60,000 a year and the machine would crank out 920 widgets a year, and you could sell each of those widgets for $135 a piece, you could double your money on that machine. Would you lease that machine?
Yes.
Of course you would. So now you take the $64,000 paralegal, and how much are you going to hire the legal assistant for?
Legal assistant, probably $35,000,
$40,000. Well, guess who pays for the legal assistant?
Paralegal.
There you go. The paralegal buys you the legal assistant and probably most of your receptionist too. Now you reinvest that free time that you buy back by having a paralegal and a legal assistant and a receptionist. And now you got all this extra free time on your hands and you use it to do more marketing.
Absolutely.
And now you bring on an associate, and you go through the same exact analysis that I just did with the paralegal, the receptionist, and the legal assistant, and pretty soon you've now taken yourself out of most of the legal work, and you're running the marketing machine and managing your team and doing quality control and making probably the same money you're making now in terms of net income, but you're working half as much. And then you decide, do I want to continue making the same money working half as much, or do I want to reinvest half of the time that I'm not working and now double my firm again?
That
this is how
sense.
We build million-dollar law firms in the real world.
Yes, no, this makes a lot of sense. Yes. This is really helpful. I do have a little bit of a follow-up question. So out of the three people I interviewed, well, I interviewed a lot more, but so some of those people, one person I think would be great receptionist or legal assistant, one person would be great trust and estate paralegal, but the third person I interviewed, she's actually the elder law paralegal and extremely experienced, and I've been trying to get into the elder law, but because I'm so swamped with all kinds of things, that bringing in the elder law paralegal would help me to get into it, but would I have that person now or wait until I figure out what to do with the other two people that I'm going to hire?
Well, you're swamped with estate planning. You're not swamped with elder law.
No, correct, correct, correct. But then, and I don't
right.
advertise.
So hire,
I don't
so
advertise.
Hire the estate planning. So hire the estate planning paralegal because that's what you're currently swamped with.
Yep. Yes.
That's my answer.
Okay. Okay. Yes. Thank you very much. Thank you, Arjun.
You're welcome. All right.
Thank you, Lena.
Last question, and then we got to jump.
Yep, last question, you'll jump, and then I'll give everybody the info on how to win the two free tickets, enter to win. Stephanie, we're ready for our last question.
Our final question comes from James. Your line is open.
Arjun, I was a little late to the call. The three things I got out of the call was I'm going to meet with my accountant before the end of the year. I'm going to call 20 to 30 former clients before the end of the year. And I'm going to make a business plan for 2019. My first question is, did I miss anything?
I tell you what.
First off,
James,
we want to meet with the accountant as soon as possible, not just before the end of the year, because you want to give yourself as much time to maneuver as you can. And you also missed some key numbers that you're going to ask your bookkeeper for. And you heard me go on a little bit of a rant about how the fact that your bookkeeper can't or won't give you these key numbers. Should only take your bookkeeper about an hour to give this information to you. And if he or she can't or won't, the conclusion has to be the same. You got to get a different bookkeeper. And you also heard me, you also missed me go, we taught a little mindset lesson at the top of the call, which was an unannounced bonus that I'm not going to repeat the whole thing, but you'll get a recording of the call to listen to.
Yeah, James, okay. I would say the recording should be in your membership site. By noon tomorrow, I'll get the recording probably later this evening from the conference call company. I will follow up with you personally and make sure that you get the recording so that you can listen to the first part of the call.
One last quick question. You talked about a script for calling the former clients. I did not see that on the website. Do you have that available?
So, James, that was me. Yeah, so that was not a formal script. It was one of the coaching calls where Arjun talked through the script. So I will follow up with you, and I'll get you that recording and transcript as well. So you'll have the transcript of the recording of where he went through how to do the gas calls and what to say.
Okay. Sorry. Thank you.
Nope. You're good.
All right, Scott.
Great question.
I got to go. Thanks, everyone.
All right. Well, thank you, Arjun, and yep, go for it. Hey, everyone, before you hang up, let me give you instructions on how you can enter to win these two free tickets. So, again, what's going to happen is two people, two members, will be drawn to win a free ticket to the next live quarterly meeting. You might also have heard it called the LQM. It's going to be coming up in January in Austin, Texas. San Antonio, Texas, January 18th through the 20th. So here's how to win. I want you to go to managemylawfirm.com. So go to managemylawfirm.com, and I'm typing that in myself. Go to managemylawfirm.com. It's going to send you to a website here where you can it'll say click here to enter to win. You'll see enter to win, two free tickets will be given away to the live quarterly meeting. Two members will have the opportunity to join us, over 200 of the fastest growing law firms in the U.S. So click there to enter to win. You're going to enter your name and your email address, and I will follow up with you. And once I get all of the entries, I will we'll have a random drawing,
and two people will be selected. You'll be contacted by phone and by email, and then we'll announce also to the rest of the membership the winners. So go to managemylawfirm.com. I'm going to put a deadline on this. You've got until 8 p.m. tonight. I've got 5:45 p.m. Eastern time, so you have until 8 o'clock Eastern time to do it. So why not go do it now and enter to win these tickets that we're going to be given away. Again, normally this LQM is just for C-suite members, so you're going to have a great opportunity to meet some other lawyers, to network with them, to hear from them, and to learn from Arjan and the rest of the coaches that will be at the LQM and that will be presenting. So go to managemylawfirm.com to enter to win. And if you're listening to this by way of the recording, your CD or your membership site, it is only for those who are live on the call, because you've got to do it before 8 o'clock Eastern time on today, November 15th. So do so today. Again, go to managemylawfirm.com and enter to win those tickets. So I want to thank Arjan. I know he's hung up, but I want to thank Arjan for a great coaching call. As you heard me mention, the recording should be in your membership site. Hopefully by noon tomorrow, I'll get the recording, get it all edited and everything, and put it in your membership site. And then shortly after that, you'll have the members' bonus kit and the the transcription in your membership site as well. Just give us some time to put that in there. And then also, I'll be working on getting the additional bonuses that Arjan mentioned on the call, which will be the business plan workshop and video. So you'll have that, and we'll be all set. So, hey, thank you for being on the call. Thanks for a great call. Thank you, Stephanie, as well. Hope everyone has a great evening, and go to managemylawfirm.com to enter to win. We look forward to having you at the next LQM if you're a lucky winner. We'll talk to you then.